This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
I've always considered myself a very lucky guy. Yes, I have bad days and wish some things about myself were different. But overall, I've had a simple, safe, and smooth life. For example, we've been at war with Iraq for over 3 years now. And other than the occasional article about a local person being injured or otherwise newsworthy, I've had no connection with this combat. I have my opinions on what we should and shouldn't be doing, but they've been based on my education, my beliefs, not much to do with my emotions, until last Monday. It's quite shocking to check your email and find a picture of your friend staring back from the screen with the word bomb underneath. Yes, soldiers die in combat, on missions, and while providing safety for others, reporters are just as vulnerable. Chocolate. You may believe that journalists are giving Americans insider accurate information or unfairly negative stories of the war, but there is no safety spot for reporting either style story. Bombs have exploded within and without the designated green zone. I've read how the injuries to the CBS reporter have gotten more press than the death of the soldier trying to keep her safe on the streets. And I understand the anger. As someone recently put it, we each have many tribes, and the smaller the tribe, the greater our empathy. Why does it matter if my friend was one of those injured by a Baghdad car bomb? Because my empathy is great. May this war end soon. May all friends and family overcome their sorrow. May Kimberly fully recover. All right, here we are, the first Sunday in June. That's right, boys and girls. 2006 is motoring right along. But we got a pretty cool show today. It seems appropriate for summertime, not that the weather or the season has really ever stopped me from having beer. Our guest today, Mark Thompson. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I always appreciate the guests giving up some of their Sunday, and especially when the Sunday is pretty sweet outside.
It's always sweet when you're having a nice beer.
I can see there'll be a lot of beer jokes today. Mark is a local, is it brewmaster or master brewer, or is that all the same thing?
It is all the same thing. It's not, doesn't really mean a lot in America. Germany has a certification program, but here in America, you can more or less call yourself a master brewer or brewmaster without much significance.
And which of those do you stand on? Do you have any sort of certification?
Well, I've got a couple biology degrees. My training is more of a formal one from James Madison University. I was a local kid, grew up here in Charlottesville. My parents still live in the same house in Bel Air that I grew up in. I got a biology degree, Bachelor of Science in biology from James Madison University. Moved out to Portland, Oregon. Started working on my master's degree in biology out in Portland State University, and had an opportunity to start bottling beer at a microbrewery in the early 90s out in the Northwest, and kind of walked into the brewery one day and applied for the job, got the job, and the heavens kind of parted for me. It was one of these things where I'd studied biology all of my life, never really had a clear way that I was going to apply it to help this world. And when I walked in the brewery, wow, I mean, I'd studied microbiology and chemistry and all of these things that were now applicable to something that I really just love and fell in love with. Making beer.
I think my guess is there's a large percentage of people out there who don't mind going to work. You know, they don't hate their job, but it's work still, and it has a different feeling from waking up any other day of the week, on whether you're off on Saturdays or Sundays, or, you know, like we were joking about last week, there's lots of us who work on holidays, et cetera, and weekends. And you are one of those people who, I mean, I'm assuming that you're effectively working almost 7 days a week, because that's where you want to be, and that's what you want to be doing.
Absolutely. I lead a blessed life. I'm a most blessed person that I know. I lead a life that I'm very passionate about what I do. I wake up. It's not work to me. Working Saturdays and Sundays, and yes, of course, being in the beer business, the weekend festivals and county fairs, we do a lot of that stuff. So it's a 7 day a week, not a 9 to 5. It's 24/7. It's something that I just love to do. I have a very high quality of life, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
Well, let's not make all the listeners too jealous early on in the program, but it's obvious. I mean, just sitting here, across from you with the big smile on your face and just the attitude that's rising off of you is that you love what you do, and you're really excited about talking about it today, I guess, and trying to share that with other people. The topic today is going to be beer, sort of as an overall title to the program. We haven't even mentioned it yet. You are with a local company here. You own, I founded
Star Hill Brewing Company. We started off, as the brew pub downtown that has our music hall, and it's 709 West Main Street. So we started off as a brew pub. We now have transitioned to a straight microbrewery, which I'm the founding, owner of and president of Star Hill Brewing Company. We're located out in Crozet. We're really excited about the transitioning of the old ConAgra food plant. We've taken a portion of that building. Music Today is our neighbor, so we have a lot of excitement out in that building. And that place, it's hard to explain how big it is and how enormous and how beautiful it is for a brewery. So we're really excited about Crozet.
And you and I talked about this, and I hope anybody who's listening, who's somehow involved with some of our other businesses or companies, whether you're beer related or not in town, let's make it clear that the goal was not to sit here and advertise Star Hill beer for an hour. And Mark knows that, and that's my goal. But, you know, the topic's going to come up now and again. But the goal today is to talk about starting your own business. If you're a home brewer and you have questions, is to talk about some of the legal aspects related to alcohol, et cetera. So feel free, you know, stretch out your fingers. Don't want you to pull a muscle when you dial us up. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Michael's here today to patch you through. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919.
And I'd like to hear from some of the winery guys out there. I know July 1st is a big date for you guys, so if any of the winery people are listening, please call us and tell us what you're thinking about things in Virginia now.
That's right. Pete Ronayne did a show covering for me while I was on my annual Vegas trip with the winery folks, talking about wines in general and another big hourly topic there, and some of that came up. We'd love to attach that, because I do believe that does sort of fall into the same atmosphere here. You mentioned Star Hill being on West Main Street. I just want to clear this up myself. Mm-hmm. Is the Star Hill beer that I drink somehow related to the Star Hill restaurant that I may eat at, or the show that I may go see upstairs? I mean, how is that all tied together?
Absolutely. We started off, as I mentioned, at the restaurant on Main Street. And so now what the pub has become in many ways is it's the same as it's always been. All the beer is being made in Crozet, but the pub currently is our retail face. We don't really have an opportunity. We will eventually have a tasting room, and you can come out to Crozet, but currently what we consider our retail, or where we can kind of present our brand to the people of Charlottesville and show them the hard work that we've done, is at the restaurant on 7th and Main, across from the Amtrak station. That's really just our retail face.
So those big metal pot boilers, they're fake now? They're not being used?
Well, they've been taken away. We've actually moved all the equipment out of that room, and they've turned it into a banquet facility.
Yeah, I used to live like within a block of that spot, right off Main Street. But Having to drive up 29 all the time really wore me out.
And I must say, it's, when we took over, it was the Blue Ridge Brewing Company, which was the first brew pub in the state of Virginia. It was one of the fourth or fifth breweries in the nation. Bach and Paul Summers started the Blue Ridge Brewing Company in 87 after visiting Germany and seeing the model, the kind of national or international model of small local breweries. And so they started Blue Ridge Brewing Company way before anyone else was getting in the game, long in 86.
Yeah, if you were really lucky enough to be in town then, could have gone to see Boy Tinsley play with his... It was a two-man show then.
Absolutely.
On a regular, like, Sunday night basis then.
Up in the window, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about beer sort of as a big overall topic here. Ingredients for beer, water. I have no clue what the hell hops are.
Well, there are four basic ingredients in beer. There's water, hops, malt, and yeast. We often call beer liquid bread. We use the same ingredients as a baker would use. We take grain, we grind it up. We just add a lot more water to this. So we have your base water, which, depending on where you live in the world, is very important. Many beer styles come from the places that they obviously get their water from. So your Pilsen beers come from Pilsen, Czechoslovakia, because the water is very, very soft. You've got your European, the British waters that make great pale ales and porter. And then after that, you've got malt. Malted barley. Barley is a small plant that grows in the Midwest. It goes through a process called malting, where they harvest the seeds, they germinate them, artificially soak them in water, and that lets the seed think it's going to germinate into a new barley plant, so it then starts to break down into some simple sugars. We get the barley that's been malted, and basically it's loaded with all these sugars. We grind up the grain, we add water to that to extract the sugars. We bring in this liquid, this sugar water, to a kettle full, and we boil that liquid, and then we add hops. Hops are the spice of beer, very, very similar to basil. They have the oils which we use, and when we put hops into beer, we will cook them. We'll add some hops at the beginning of our cooking. We cook for an hour and a half, so it's an hour and a half boil. The hops that we put in at the beginning of the boil cook for an hour and a half, and they change into what's considered to be bitter. Then we add hops at the end of that boil 5 minutes before we stop cooking, and those don't cook for as long, and they give an aromatic, citrus-like character to the product. And then after we've gotten that cooked and we've got the sugar, barley juice, we then add the magic ingredient. And the magic ingredient is yeast. There are lots of different types of yeast, so depending on the style of beer that we make, we have an ale yeast, which is called a top-fermenting yeast.
Really? There's lots of different styles of yeast. I think most people just consider the Fleischmann's yellow pack that you buy at the grocery store.
Right. No, yeast is in many ways the magic ingredient. There are several laboratories in the country where we buy yeast from. So we've got a beer we call the Love. It's a German-style Hefeweizen. We get a special yeast just for that beer, and it produces a banana kind of taffy-like aroma. Then we have an ale yeast for our other amber pale and stout. We have a lager yeast for our Jomo lager. So we really mix and match yeast to make a certain style of beer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Although I'm not the scientific guy. I'm more of the abstract art guy. So I would be like, which is why I don't make a good baker. And I don't think I would make a good beer guy, because there are specific recipes to follow, or it's all going to blow up in your face, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Literally.
Yeah, well, it could be,
because
yes,
the yeast will, if you're making this stuff at home. I have some friends who are pretty big home brewers, and if you put it down in your basement and you go down in the next morning and it's like exploded all over the place.
Sure. Yeast are basically little single-celled organisms just like you and I. They have to make a living, and so what they do to make their living is they eat the sugars that we give them. When we make beer or brew beer, all we're really doing is making sugar water. We make this sugar water, we send it over, we add yeast, and yeast are like basically getting a Big Mac and some French fries. They're eating the sugar, they're creating ethanol and carbon dioxide. So as a byproduct of turning sugar into ethanol, you have this carbon dioxide that bubbles away, and if you don't have a place to go, yeah, you can sure enough blow something up with that CO2.
Has that ever happened to you?
We've had batches that have come up and over and out and made a big, big mess on the floor, but, no. Well, most of the tanks now have pressure valves that they will actually pop, so you don't blow anything up.
I was looking for maybe some free beer that wasn't going to work out. One of the things that I've noticed, seems to be through the alcohol, grouping in general, we've gone through this artisan phase. We had artisan tequila. All of a sudden, where, you know, most people think of tequila for shots or for margaritas. But now you're actually supposed to, there are huge labels that you're actually supposed to sip and enjoy. We've done the same thing with bourbon, where there's sort of micro, I mean, everybody or most people are familiar with micro breweries for beer. And now there are micro, I guess, breweries or whatever the proper term is for bourbons. And beer seems to have had that or gone through that. Is it still going through this artisan phase?
Absolutely. I think in general you're seeing a what's been oftentimes called a trading up factor, that people are considering, you know, wow, I've got a, it's a very short life that we live, and I'd much rather spend my time and my energy on things that are, you know, productive and unique. So everything from Starbucks, coffee used to be a commodity item that came in a 5-pound can that no one cared about. They've gone through a revolution with coffee. Now people care about what kinds of beans and where they're made. And there are many different, you know, butcher, baker, candlestick maker kind of industries that people have said, you know what, I have a short life. I want to live it to its fullest. I'd much rather buy 2 really good beers than I would 20 cans of maybe not such good beer.
But it seems to me that the home brewing aspect has faded away. I mean, East Charlottesville used to have its 1, if not 2, sort of home brewing stores where you could buy the ingredients, buy the equipment. I know that there was one place where you could actually, they would help you do your own thing, and sort of walk you through the process. And now that doesn't exist.
Yeah, the home brewers have kind of fallen on hard times, for lack of a better word. There are very few stores that sell homebrew supplies. We get calls very often from people who are looking to know where they can buy supplies, or can they come to the brewery to get some yeast or some grain or some malt. So it's tough to be a home brewer in America these days, sure.
All right. It's 11:17 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with Mark Thompson, a local, brewmaster. Master brewer, do you
master
have a preference?
Brewer, nah.
Master brewer.
Beer guy
local
is what I like.
Local beer,
hey, beer guy.
Expert. A local master brewer here in town. His business, Star Hill Brewery. I want to ask you before we take our first break, getting started. Because aside from being a master brewer, you're also a business owner.
Absolutely.
You talked about being in being on the other side of the nation and finding your love of life, and then I assume knowing that this is what you wanted to do, but at some point you had to take the step from doing this while working for someone else and, wow, let me do my own thing here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest challenge, as anyone who has ever started a business knows, and it continues to be, it's a struggle every day. You have to have that passion, that drive, that willingness, I think, in many ways to make mistakes and to learn from that mistake and get up the next day and to make this, you know, hopefully not the same mistake again. But every single step of the process, the first one is, hey, there's a big chasm here. I think I'm going to jump. And you jump. And then you find out, wow, it wasn't so deep. I'm okay. I can make it. And it's a continual process of taking on challenges, not being adverse to risk. And because you love what you do, you wouldn't have it any other way. We would rather try really hard and fail and then not be able to do it and look back on my deathbed and say, you know what? I've lived a full life. I have no regrets versus what if I had tried that?
So. What were some, you know, other than making the jump, what were the hardest, I mean, finding money, finding location, finding partners?
No, I think all of that came, a lot of it was timing, just having to wait out the timing. The hardest thing in the world about probably any industry, but mine in particular, is that selling beer is a lot like walking into a bar and telling a complete stranger that they're an idiot. And I do that every single day. Everyone out there, think about it, people. All of you have a favorite beer. It might be your dad's beer. It might be the town that you're from. But we all romantically latch onto a favorite beer. And so what I try to do and have to do is go in day after day after day to tell them, you know what? Your favorite beer is wrong. Your favorite beer should be my beer. And so that is a really hard thing to do because I have to change the psychology of people. I have to get inside of their mind. I mean, A, I have to make award-winning beer. That's a struggle. That's hard. But that can be done. The hardest thing is to go in and try to convince someone that they need to be drinking my product instead of their own.
Speaking of, we'll get to the award-winning part a little later in the program. Mark Thompson is an award-winning brewmaster, and he's here in the studio of the Wake Up Call today. Let me tell you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's a sunny morning, but chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, highs 75 to 80. Chance of thunderstorms tonight, lows 45 to 50. and cloudy with a chance of showers tomorrow. Highs back 65 to 70. Right now, it's clear across the listening area. 73 in the Valley, 72 in Lynchburg, 73 in Richmond, and 74 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, and we want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. The recipient of the 2006 Charlottesville Environmental Vision Award. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found at the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, and at BRMS.com. And WNRN also reminds you that registration for summer programs at UVA Intramural Recreational Sports is underway. The Aquatic and Fitness Center can be found at 450 Whitehead Road on UVA grounds. You can sign up for tennis, swimming, yoga, soccer, caving, rock climbing, and other activities. Online info and registration forms are at virginia.edu/IMS. Or you can call the NRN studio line once this show is over. We got a call here from someone who wants to know if there are any local brew festivals. You mentioned earlier about working on weekends for brew festivals.
There traditionally has been what is called the Blues and Brews Festival in Charlottesville, sponsored by 3WV and your communication. That didn't happen last year with the construction of the amphitheater. I have heard rumors that there is talks of reviving a beer festival here in town at the downtown pavilion, Charlottesville Pavilion. I think the dates have been kicked around are late September, early October. So I'm not 100% sure that it's going to happen this year, but there is some excitement building towards doing a beer festival here in Charlottesville. There is, Richmond has one down near the canal in August, I believe.
On that island, right?
It's moved from Brown's Island to another location in the downtown of Richmond. The one that we're excited, the biggest one of them all is Old Dominion's Beer Festival, which is a couple weeks from now up in Ashburn. And then Floyd County, down with the folks that do Floyd Fest every year, are doing what they're calling the Floyd Fandango. So it's going to be an Oktoberfest down on their site.
You should go there just for the cool name.
Yeah.
All right, we are here with Mark Thompson, local master brewer, brewmaster, talking about beer and all the fun things that go with it, owning your own business, and some of the laws that go along with alcohol. We'll get into that. 979-0919. 1-877-967-6762. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Local number, 979-0919. I hear the phone ringing right now, so I'll ask you a nice, easy question while we wait for that. You mentioned earlier the beer Jomo. Didn't it used to be called Mojo?
Right. We've lost our mojo, baby. Yes, it did. We had called this lager beer, the first lager beer we'd ever done about 3.5 years ago, Mojo, and ran with it. We submitted a application for a trademark, and again, talking about lessons learned, and it's a big, cruel world out there. Trademarking is not something that most small business people think about and the significance of that. So we submitted our trademark application for Mojo, only to find out that some friends of ours, some brewers in Colorado from Rockies Brewing Company, the guys who make Boulder beer, had beaten us to that name by about 3 months. So we acquiesced and have backed off of using the word Mojo, and now we've dyslexed it, for lack of a better word. It's gone from Mojo to Jomo. Same beer, though.
All right, let's take our call. We got Ryan. Ryan from Stanton. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man. What you got?
Hey, I just want to know, what's the difference between, like, microbreweries and everything else? And also, I'm just wondering if Mark's been keeping up with his Queen City Brewery out here in Stanton. It's kind of one of those brew your own beer places, and I just want to know if what he had to say about that place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely. Queen City, I believe, started with the Eatons, who owned Monticello Brewing Company here in town. It's what they call a brew on premise. And then they moved it, or the Queen City guys bought it from Kevin, and they've moved it from Charlottesville over to Stanton. I haven't personally been there. I've met the gentleman a couple times, seemed like great people. A brew on premise is something that has come about where they've got maybe 10 or 12 smaller kettles. You pay a fee, you go in, they have a recipe book. You can brew, you know, light, dark, heavy, any of the beer styles you want. You brew it, you let it bottle or condition in their facility, then you come back a couple weeks, 3 weeks later, and you bottle the beer up, and you get to take home two or three cases of beer for a flat fee and make more or less any style of beer you like. It's something that it's growing in popularity. It's kind of, I guess we talked about the home brewers earlier. It's the way now that you don't have to do it all at your house. You don't have to make a mess there. You can go Queen City or in places like that to make beer.
What about the micro breweries? Is there some sort of official difference based on how many pints you make throughout the year, or the size of your factory, or how many employees you have that determines, the micro place versus the national place?
Absolutely. I mean, there are some artificial benchmarks. 15,000 barrels is kind of the benchmark from you move from becoming, you can make up to 15,000 barrels, call yourself a microbrewery, and then after 15,000 barrels, you become what's known as a regional brewery. And then from there, I think it's 300,000 barrels when you then become a national brewery. But they're very artificial, and they don't really have much significance as far as
how many barrels does it makes a keg, or how many kegs come out of a barrel.
There are two kegs in a barrel, and like every industry out there, we have our own lingo and terminology, and a lot of it comes from the old English stuff, that a barrel is something that is a 31-gallon increment. It means absolutely nothing. It has no relevance. But they quickly found out that a barrel of beer was too heavy for one person to carry. So then they went and then they started making half barrels. And so the kegs that you see in restaurants and people think of are called half barrels, and they're 15.5 gallons of product.
And how many six-packs?
There are seven cases per keg of beer, basically. So 14 cases per barrel. And we could have fun with numbers like over and over, 12 ounces.
Just trying to figure out if I ordered a barrel, or how many barrels. You said 15,000 barrels.
There are 124 pints of beer in a keg. So when you do parties and whatnot, one keg has about 125 pints in it.
So if I have my friends over, we should have 5 kegs. All right, 11:27 here in the Wake Up Call with Mark Thompson, a local master brewer. Feel free to dial us up. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free number. 979-0919 is the local number. Mark's here to answer any and all questions you have about beer. We've mentioned it a couple times now. Let's get into it. Specific or special laws that have to go with alcohol. And specifically, there's some things happening on July 1st that I guess are more in line with the wineries, but may have something to do with the beers eventually.
Well, I think we've talked about what makes it hard to be, in a small business owner. The sale of alcoholic beverages is, as we all know, very highly regulated for a lot of very good reasons. We don't want the crime, the drinking and driving. There are some negative consequences attached to the sale of alcoholic beverages. That being said, we're seeing a lot of renewed interest because of the fact that most of these laws that are on the books, first off, the states, each and every state has their own set of laws, and the federal government has more or less said the states should just figure out, each and every one of them, their different laws.
So the federal government sets the law at you had to be 21,
mm-hmm.
and then says after that?
Yeah.
Do your own thing.
Some states collect more taxes or less taxes. Some states allow you to put up neon. Some states, it's a state-by-state. After that, yes.
Yeah, one of the things I always found coming from the restaurant industry was that Virginia doesn't allow, the beer people to give you things.
Right, absolutely.
When you go to Pennsylvania, and they got stuff everywhere, we'll stick with Rolling Rock since they're a Pennsylvania right. beer, but there's Rolling Rock neon signs uh-huh. and Rolling Rock, all kinds of Rolling Rock related stuff, merchandise.
Sure.
But in Virginia, you don't see any of that.
I find the irony in that because Virginia being a tobacco state, you can go to a convenience store and see tobacco neons and lottery neons, but no on a beer neon because that just might be enticing the wrong people. So there's a lot of kind of irony going on where, yes, in the state of Virginia, it's a fairly conservative state. You can't sell beer on Sundays. There's still some old blue laws. You can't deliver beer on Sundays. But there's just a kind of a lot of irony. But you're seeing, I guess, the point of that is that there's some attention being drawn to this through the Supreme Court's decision, and then there's some of the state's decisions coming thereafter.
And there's a state law in Virginia here that's coming up in less than a month on July 1st about distributing
right.
wine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so as most people probably know, there was a Supreme Court stepped in on a lawsuit that was about direct shipment of wine. And what they said was that the states cannot create laws that are favorable to one person, namely the in-state wineries, and not favorable to the out-of-state wineries. So as a result of that lawsuit where the state says, hey, you've got to make it fair for everybody, it doesn't matter whether you're in-state or out-of-state, because the Free Commerce Clause in the Constitution prohibits states from creating laws that are against commerce, then all the states have gone through in the last year or so and looking at, do we have these kind of laws that are favorable to one and not favorable to the other? And Virginia fell into that group where they had what they called the farm winery license that allowed the in-state wineries to sell their product on directly to the consumer, to the restaurants, on what they call all three tiers. And then within the last 6 months or so, the state said, well, that goes against the Supreme Court's decision because it is favorable to the Virginia wineries, but it's not as favorable to the California wineries. So they've now removed the farm winery license and prohibiting the wineries, is the best that I know, that they cannot sell direct anymore.
How does that, do the beer companies fall in any way like that? The beer manufacturers and distributors?
Beer has always had to operate under that system, that three-tiered system where you sell product through a wholesaler.
There's no farm beer breweries?
No, not currently.
Here's a question that just came in from someone who didn't want to get on the line with us. Will you consider making a non-alcoholic beer?
Oh, absolutely. I've got two children in public school, and I realize the significance of making a non-alcoholic product. We are working on an Italian soda right now. We've come up with the label. We're pretty excited about it. And so we're looking to probably, it'll be a while before we release that. But yes, we are going to do a non-alcoholic product, this Italian soda. We're calling it Designated Driver.
Very interesting. I like that. Let's get back to to some of the law issues. Don't forget, you can call in with your questions or comments. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Ryan actually got on the air with us with his question from Stanton, the last caller. Just passing it on through Michael, which is also allowed, but less fun for all of us. You gave me a little piece of information here about Costco. Versus the state of Washington. And for those who, only grew up in Charlottesville and don't know what a Costco is, it's sort of like a Sam's Club or like our local Sam's Club with a much bigger grocery store area.
Sure. It's a big box warehouse club. After the Supreme Court ruling, the second case that as industry folks, are all watching is this case in the state of Washington. It's Costco has sued the state of Washington, and it's around the same three-tiered system. If you can imagine, Costco and Sam's Club have built their business model on trying to get as much product at the deepest discount as they can, and then passing that on to the consumer. The consumer has rewarded the Costcos of the world because we all can buy product at a lower price. And what Costco has, and so they've set this model up with regional distribution centers. And so what Costco would prefer to do, which they do with the majority of their product, they buy it in bulk from the manufacturer. If I made a widget and you owned a Walmart, I'd be allowed to sell you my widget directly. So Costco buys a bunch of widgets. They take them to their own central warehouse, and then they divvy up the widgets to all of their stores. It's a much more efficient model. They make, a lot more savings to the consumer. But with alcoholic beverages, Costco is not allowed to do that. Costco has to buy directly from a wholesaler in each and every one of the markets. And what their point is saying is that, hey, time out, that's unfair, anti-constitutional, because ultimately it's costing the consumer more money. We're having to pay a middle broker for something that we would prefer to buy directly. And it has significance in the fact that Costco so far has come out on top of this. And then the states are creating these laws as they look through it that this is something that's going against free commerce.
But let's talk a little bit about why. Well, I'll hold on to that question. What do people not want to come on the air today? They're just passing through. They're just passing through their questions. We'll save that one for a second then, because it doesn't follow along with this. The difference, I guess, is we're talking about alcohol, mm-hmm. which has a much greater need for regulation, as you mentioned earlier.
Sure.
Do they have the same ability with cigarettes? Because I believe that a lot of those places, I know that the local Sam's Club, I guess, they sell cigarettes, right?
Right.
So do they have to do the same thing? Do they have to have a local place, or can they go to, you know, and all their cigarettes go to one place in the state of Virginia? Because I'm assuming each state has its own laws, and then they can spread them out throughout all their Sam's clubs throughout the state of Virginia. Are you, do you know
I don't specifically know about the regulations around tobacco. No, I have no idea.
All right. I'll get that other question in here throughout the little later on in the hour, but we'll take a call from Colin. Hey, Colin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey.
I was actually wondering if Star Hill, you guys do a really good job with some of the basic styles, but if you had any plans for kind of like seasonal brews or some limited run stuff like a lot of microbrewers have been doing.
Hey, good question. Thanks.
Sure.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. We do a seasonal program. We have our four main beers, and we definitely brew by what we call the beer minimalist philosophy. But we have a seasonal program where we do one beer, you know, four beers a year. The Love is right now our Hefeweizen. We go into our Oktoberfest, which is festy in the fall. We then do a beer we call the Gift, which is a porter. And then Stinky in the spring. So we have a seasonal program.
Stinky?
Stinky.
You actually make something and call it Stinky?
Oh, I know. We'll see if it sticks. My wife, I know you're listening, Kristen. I know you hate that name, but, it's a very hoppy, very aromatic. It's not the unclean.
I've always
beer.
Liked Kristen, and now that just adds to the pile.
So we do some limited release, and as we grow, we definitely will look to do more of that. But as I mentioned earlier, we have a philosophy that, the best beer in the world, you know, is brewed with a very minimalist approach. And so we have these four beers, all four have won gold medals. We do not try to overwhelm you with the number of beers that we brew. And oftentimes, if I have one complaint, is when I go into a tap house or a brewery or brew pub, and they have 8 or 10 or 12 different beers on tap. And so I'd rather do 4 A-plus beers than I would 12 B-minus to C-plus beers, so that we are very conservative in our beer selection.
I think you should give Kristen a little more say in the merchandising. I do want to take a moment and thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. They are Reader's Choice for burgers in the Sevo, and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running, Five Guys serves America's standard fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, and it's now open in the Hollymead Town Center, coming soon to the downtown mall here in Charlottesville. 975 Guys. Let's take a call from Star in Lynchburg. Hey, Star.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. My question today is really sort of along the lines of a person who is a manager. I'm studying management. I think of everything now along those lines whenever I hear things. And, of course, this gentleman, is it Chris?
This is Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I've been busy this morning. Mark, I know that you are, of course, an entrepreneur, and you love what you do. You're highly motivated and have a passion. One of my questions is, how do you motivate your other employees to have that same desire or passion? And how do you maintain your competitive advantage, although I think I'm sort of picking up some of those things along the line. I'll let you answer that.
Okay.
Thanks, Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously very hard. It's when as you grow, the growing pains, when it's just you and you plus one, as you're small, it's not as difficult. But as you grow, motivation is a key component of employees and of your growth itself. So there, you know, textbooks filled with different ways to do it. I personally think that the leading by example is the best way to do it. I am not afraid to put my boots on, get on the floor and get dirty. And if a job needs to be done, and even if it's not a glorious job, that I think leading by example is a prime way to let people know that you're willing to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do, and that A, you're confident and can do that job, and then that inspires them to make leaps and strides beyond that.
If you need someone to come help show them how to be a taste tester, fire me up.
There you go.
11:39 here on the Wake Up Call. With Mark Thompson, Master Brewer, Star Hill Brewery.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, there's a possibility that buildings on the downtown mall might one day soon be 9 stories high. The Hook takes a look. There are 30 athletes from Western Albemarle High School kicked off their teams after refusing to sign the school's drug and alcohol abstinence statement. And an expert offers tips on picking a kennel before you leave town. The Hook, free and open to the public. And we want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support. Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And while we got about 20 minutes left here with Mark, feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. At noon, hang tight and join George Bell for Les Timms Perdue. It's the best of 80s and 90s alternative tunes. No Fleetwood Mac, no Huey Lewis, no ZZ Top, but you will hear Pearl Jam, No Doubt, and Charlatans UK. And requests are always welcome. Les Timms Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. And let's take a call from Howardsville and Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
My question for Mark is just something that I've always kind of wondered about. I really enjoy microbrews, mm-hmm. and I like to go to breweries.
Right.
And I've noticed that, you know, for example, I could go to Star Hill and order a Star Hill Amber
mm-hmm.
at the brewery, and it seems a lot stronger than if I went to the grocery store and bought a six-pack of the Star Hill Amber.
Right.
And I've always wondered, I mean, is it like a freshness factor? It's something that I've noticed consistently with every brewery I've gone to. It's just that the beer seems a lot stronger there.
Okay.
Okay, hang tight, Lisa. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I guess there are a couple things going on there. A lot of beer is about the set and the setting. It's a lot about kind of how you feel or how you are. I mean, I answer these types of questions a lot on I can only drink this beer, not that beer. Draft beer is traditionally what is better beer. So you've got basically a full keg of beer that's been kept refrigerated its entire life. It's 15 gallons, so it has a less of a chance to start aging or oxidizing. The smaller you make a product, such as a 12-ounce bottle of beer, it ages quicker because there's more surface area, more things that will allow that beer to get a little bit older. So brewery fresh beer, keg beer, draft beer is better beer in many ways just because of the fact that it doesn't age and it's a little fresher.
All right, Lisa?
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
You like microbreweries?
Yes, I do.
And are you single?
No, I'm actually married, and I'm pregnant right now, so I can't enjoy my microbrews right now.
So. Oh, well, I was just checking it out.
You can only talk about beer now for another 3 or 4 months.
All right, well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, dial us up. I promise not to hit on everybody who calls. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I got a quick question. Here's that question that came in earlier.
All right.
I don't know that you have the answer for this. This person, because I don't know if it's male or female, had a question about the Star Hill on Main Street. How do you get performers like Dickie Betts to play in the brewery? So the upstairs part. Do you have anything to do with that?
No, I mean, I would like to say that I do, but no, I have very little to do with the music hall.
I think with Dickie Betts, you just offer him some free beer.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. One of the Star Hill missions is to attach ourselves, and we do as many music festivals and anything music we try to do, and we're not the mountain bikers, we're not the tree huggers, but we're definitely the music rock and roll kids, and Star Hill has been blessed, and Charlottesville has been blessed to be able to get the caliber of music that comes through this town. It's developing quickly into a regional, if not national, kind of Austin, if you will, Austin, Texas, where we get some amazing bands, and how that happens, I don't know.
I got Dave on the line. Dave, hang on like 20 more seconds. Is Corin Capshaw affiliated with your business? I mean, because I think most people assume that he's, or I believe he is, has something to do with the music part. Is it anything to do with the beer side?
I mean, Corin is an amazing man. He has been a venture, he's an angel investor. He supports small businesses in this town stronger than anyone that I've ever known. No, he doesn't own Star Hill Brewing Company or any part of Star Hill Brewing Company, but he has been an amazing man, an amazing supporter of our brand, and has helped build this company and build this brand through just some magnificent and amazing ways. But no, he doesn't own the brewery.
All right, we got Dave on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to ask, I love all beer. I don't have any hindrances against any kind of it. And me and my stepdad used to do some microbrews in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how I could get back into that. Now I'm you know, living on my own.
Mm-hmm. At this point, the best way to do it is the internet. I mean, the internet, as we know, has made the world a very small place. I don't have one specific website picked out at this point, but there are so few places to buy ingredients to make beer that your best bet at this point is to start on the start Google searching. If there's a local brewery near you, or if you can develop a relationship with a brewery, you can also then start to, you know, get some hops from them, or some malt from them, or some certain specific ingredients from a local brewery.
And I guess we had that we had Ryan call early in the program who was talking about the place over in
Queen
Stanton,
City,
right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so Queen City Brewing Company, Stanton, Virginia, that'd be a good place to, if you wanted to physically go in and brew on one of their kettles, for sure.
All right. Hey, thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, and, thanks.
Thank you, Star Hill, for making my Bonnaroo really cool last year.
Woohoo, Bonnaroo! Yeah, that's a good question. You talk about beer festivals, which I assume the invitation goes out to a variety of people, beer companies, microbreweries, whether you're, and even national breweries who want to come and participate and be there for everybody to sample beers and have some food. But how do you get to be a part of a national music scene like Bonnaroo, who I'm assuming if you're listening to NRN, you're familiar with what that is?
Right. Again, you're absolutely correct. We do, you know, is beer festivals are one thing. You've got 20 or 30 or 40 other breweries all at tables. So we do those, but what we really focus our attention and time and effort on are music festivals, because we like to be in an area where there's, you know, there are fewer breweries at Bonnaroo. We go down there, it's more of our clientele. And it's, again, part of our mission of bringing or sharing the gift of great beer to the world is to be able to get down to these concerts and put our product in the hands of people who are in love with music as we are with beer. And so the beer and music is really what we're all about.
All right, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks, as we talk with Mark Thompson, local master brewer. Happens to run Star Hill Brewery here in town. But we're talking about all kinds of beer and taking it from there. Dial up with your questions or comments, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks. About another 14 minutes. Is that right? I can't do math appropriately. Yes, another 14 minutes with Mark. And we've been talking back and forth about being open in your own business and some of the laws that go with it. Today, the front page of today's Daily Progress.
Absolutely.
Has an article in it about some folks who are
Taylor Smack,
planning to open something in Afton.
Absolutely. I was coming down here and just, I grabbed the newspaper and oh my God, on the front page. So any of you beer people go out there and buy the Daily Progress today, Taylor Smack and his wife Mandy have been at South Street Brewing Company or Brew Pub for a while. We know them. We like them a lot. We've brewed beers together back and forth our winter seasonal, and even one time, Taylor from South Street had his kettle go down, his steam. So he kegged up all the sweet wort, drove it in his pickup truck over to Star Hill on Main Street, and we blew it into the kettle and boiled the beer for him and then kegged it and sent it back. So, I mean, Taylor and those guys are awesome. We love them well, and I'm excited about we're going to be neighbors. They're going to be just down from Crozet in Nelson County. They're going to do what I think to be a really cool model where it's going to be very European. It's going to be like a farm wine or farm brewery, like you see a farm winery. They've got 4 or 5 acres. They're going to do a very rustic, romantic setting, and I'm excited to have them as neighbors.
What do you think? I mean, I think for a lot of people, a beer farm. I mean, we think of vineyards, and you go there and you taste and you sit outside and you look at the view. But I don't think a lot of people have that image of the brewery.
Well, that's the exciting part. Is like, you know, the image of beer was like the image of coffee before it became, you know, the Starbucks. I mean, the image of beer is the, you know, blue collar, you know, there's not a lot of romance, or has not been a lot of romance of surrounding beer.
Well, after 6 or 8.
Well, yeah, then anyone looks romantic, bada-bing. But, so now you're getting some of the romantic side, and this type of project really helps to enhance and add more romance to an industry that lacks a lot of that, that wine glamour, you know, ritzy stuff.
By the way, had a caller dial us in just before we went on the air today, said he wasn't going to be able to listen. Maybe you're joining us late. You weren't here for the whole show. www.seavillepodcast.com. Mark Thompson from Star Hill, the master brewer, here talking with us on the wake-up call. You can catch the whole thing at seavillepodcast.com. Andrew from Charlottesville. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for making some great beer, by the way.
Oh, God bless you.
My question is about the local economy. In the last few years, we've seen a real explosion of vineyards around the state, and it's just been a real boon to the agricultural community. And we don't see that as much with microbreweries, I guess, just because, you know, vineyards maybe are more profitable. I'm not really sure what the deal is with that. But I guess my question is, what ways does Star Hill have opportunities to create opportunities for farmers, or in what way are they able to contribute to, like, the agricultural prosperity of Virginia? Because, you know, biotechnology and information technology certainly is one way that Virginia can provide jobs in Charlottesville. But, you know, we want beer, we want, like, our food, and it'd be great if we could keep it, you know, as close to home as possible. And I'm familiar with some breweries around the country, some of the things that they do with interacting with local farmers and stuff. And I'm just wondering what goes on with Star Hill and that, and I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, great stuff, great, man.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I have a couple of responses. First is our spent barley. Our spent grain is given to a farmer who lives in Greenwood. After we've washed the grain and gotten all the sugar out of it, we then have what we call spent grain, but it's a great feed for cattle feed. And so he takes it to his cattle and feeds them with what we call our spent grain. We do a lot of non-profit type stuff where we try to be active supporters of the community. You know, being the beer guy, you can only imagine that a lot of non-profits call us to try to get some donations for our products. We're very active in trying to support what we can in our community. We're a manufacturer as well, so as we grow, we are kind of the donut factory. Every time we grow and get larger, we hire more people to help us make the beer that we sell. So we do our part that way. But as far as the ingredients go, all the hops in this country are grown in the Yakima Valley and through, like, the parts of the Northwest. The grain's all grown in South Dakota, North Dakota. So we don't really have a lot of access to ingredients that are local.
Hey, thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
You can give away free stuff. And I know I'm not
free
asking
beer
that, like,
here,
hey,
right,
man,
exactly.
Did you bring something to put in my car? I just meant, like, you know, I know that there's so many laws. You can't even say... there's no happy hour after 9 o'clock, and you can't say
free.
Right, you have to say golden beverage and all kinds of stuff like that.
Right.
You can, so people can call you, and well, God, please don't call Mark because he gave up his hour today and go, oh, I'm going to call that, I'm going to call them. But it just seems like, my God, is it alcohol you can give away?
Oh, it gets sure. back to that ridiculous, whoop. I didn't say that.
I'll say it. There's a ridiculous law out there. Yeah, well, how do you work with that?
It's called the check chase, and it's one of those. No, I cannot give away free beer. But if you have most of these people have a 501c nonprofit license, and so what happens is they buy the beer at retail cost, the true cost, because you can't discount, you can't do the free thing. So they buy it from wherever, Hook, Harris Teeter, Kroger, one of the stores. And then I, as a business owner, write a check and a donation, which is the exact same amount as the beer they just bought. So the nonprofit gets free beer, but we've done what's called the check chase. They write one check to the vendor, and then I wrote another check to the 501c, and that keeps the everyone happy.
By the way, you could buy those things at Markets of Tiger Fuel. Drew. Hey, Drew.
Hey. So along the lines of that local question, curious if you had any interest in making an organic beer.
We have kicked around the idea of doing organic beer. We struggle, obviously, with things that are like fads and doesn't really fit our mission. I mean, our mission is extremely clear. It's to share the gift of great beer with the world. So we are very active and very busy building our brand. Organic is something that we support, and I'm all about. Beer in and of itself, is it organic? And I mean, it's more or less an organic beverage. We may. I just don't know the answer to that question. I don't know whether it's something that really fits our cause. I mean, we try to, you know, we're more of the hippy dippy festival guys, so we try to play with that more than we do the organic side. But good question.
All right, Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Scott from Lexington. Are
good
you
morning.
Listening on 95.9?
Yes, I've got 95.9. We just started listening to you guys a couple of days ago and absolutely loved the station.
Man, you know, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
You're in Virginia, so Mark can't mail you any beer. Because being the first Lexington caller on this program, I'd have Mark mail you some beer, but we can't because of that ridiculous law. All right, do you have one of those? Do you have one of those? What is it? 501? Are you a nonprofit organization?
As a matter of fact, I do work for a nonprofit organization.
I knew it.
Ideas now.
What can we do for you, man?
Well, I'm interested in about the pairing of beer with food. Mm. There's an outfit out of Canada, and I'm going to butcher the name, called, I think it's Unibrow, and they make a lot of craft beers. Mm. And when you go on their website, they say, well, here, drink it with this or drink it with that. And some of it's very interesting, but they say pair it up. Is there any basic rules of thumb with how to pair a beer with food, or are there any guides anywhere that can help you out with that?
The great question. And you're seeing a lot of interest in as the wine and cheese, that kind of thing. So there's been a lot of interest with beer pairing and with food. There is a great book out there called, I think it's called The Brewmaster's Table. It's written by Garrett Oliver, who's the brewmaster from Brooklyn Brewing Company. Well-known, well-respected individual. And he just came out with an encyclopedia thick book on food and beer pairing. The Brewmaster's Table, Garrett Oliver is the author. I would highly recommend that book. It's written in a style that is just phenomenal. We all have our rules of thumb. I always say, you know, that the beer goes with anything. So as long as you can eat it with your hands, you're fine.
Hey, Scott, man, keep listening and keep calling in on
yes,
Sundays, all
thank
right?
you.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Great show.
Hey, thanks. All right. I'm so excited to have our first caller on this program from the 95.9 Lexington program. Dial us up. It is 11:56 here in the wake-up call. Just a few more minutes with our good friend Mark Thompson, local master brewer. See, I need a beer.
That's right.
You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Shreepwire Amherst Lynchburg. And we want to thank 4-5-Fix for their support today, 4-5-Fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 4-5-Fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 4-5-Fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. Gosh, I got so excited when Scott called us that I lost my train of thought. Are there special health department issues for beer brewing that might be different from a restaurant or something?
Fortunately for us, yes, because there is no known bacteria that will grow in beer that will kill you. If there was an E. coli type bug in our industry, our industry would be a lot different than it is today. But no, beer, oftentimes throughout culture, fermented beverages have been very safe, safer than the water to drink. So no, there's nothing as far as health department, health inspectors go. Beer will sour, it'll taste bad, it might give you a headache, but it won't kill you, and so for the most part, they leave us alone.
Hey, one of the things that I saw when I was poking around was that when you were still brewing on West Main Street, that you had something called Open Door Mondays?
Yeah.
And you let people come in and watch and help around. Now that you've moved out to Crozet, do you still?
We still encourage, absolutely. We are stewards of the gift. So people who are very interested in sharing this gift with us we have to be a little more careful because we're in a larger work environment and steel-toed boots and eyeglasses
OSHA
and all
kind
that.
Of stuff.
Yeah, but we invite people out whenever we can and we try to share what we've gotten with them and that makes the whole world go round.
All right. Give us one last bit of information. By the way, we were talking with Scott about food and beer. I did read something where while cheese can often overpower the taste of wine.
True.
It never overpowers the taste of beer.
True. I got one last closing comment for everybody, and this is what I try to teach as part of our mission. And I always ask this question, like, what is the best beer in the world? Everyone has an idea. What is the best beer in the world? And I'll tell you, people, if you've learned one thing and one thing only, the best beer in the world is always the one in front of you. Beer is about a culture. It's about sharing. It's about making your life better. It's about the romantic feeling of how great this journey is. And beer opens up. It crosses all cultures, religions, and creeds. It is universal by nature. And the best beer in the world is always the one in front of you. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank Mark for coming in today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That was a very good hour. And thank all the callers who dialed us up. Don't forget, if you join the show late, www.sevillepodcast.com. Next week on the show, another very interesting hour as we talk about the Methuselah Project. some scientists who are attempting and have had success in making mice live much, much, much longer than their natural age and transferring this ability to humans. The Methuselah Project, next Sunday here on The Wake Up Call.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at WNRN.RLC.net. The Wake Up Call is produced by Katherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.